Hi, everybody. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our 102nd podcast, Fantasy Football in the Twilight Zone. I'll explain that a little bit later. Fantasy Football in the Twilight Zone. Okay, I want to say welcome to our studio audience today, and you might call this our New Year's Eve podcast, because it's going to be published just a day before New Year's Eve. And some of you, of course, will be listening to this podcast in 2021. And what we want to accomplish today, in one way, is just to kick 2020 in the ass and get it off the calendar. Because it's been one long episode of Living in the Twilight Zone, hasn't it? Okay, everybody. Here's our studio audience, and we're ready to start the show. I'll be the first to admit I don't know much about playing fantasy football, but fortunately for me and Casinos USA Podcast, we had a caller this week that knows a lot about fantasy football. Our caller's from Maryland, and here he is.
Hi, name is Jeff, calling from Maryland. Hey, just wanted to talk some fantasy football. Most leagues just had their championship. Week 16 in the NFL. Most teams do their championship weeks 15 or 16 in the NFL because not all players, not all starters play week 17. So it happens before the real NFL playoffs. And just happy to share, I won my league. I commission a neighborhood dad league. We have a lot of fun. It's 12 guys. Most leagues are 12 guys. Some do 10 or even 14. 12 is pretty common, and it's $100 in, and we pay out the top four teams that make the playoffs. Biggest spot, of course, going to the champion. And we also do a weekly high score just to keep people involved so that the guys will keep interested and put in their lineups regardless of their record. It's $20 each week to the person that got the highest score. So just wouldn't mind hearing your thoughts on if you ever have done a fantasy football league or if you do consider that gambling, and what your thoughts are on prop betting, which is big in sports right now. Betting on how many yards a player will get or throw for or how many touchdowns or how many catches. Those prop bets are becoming really popular. And in the state I'm calling in, they just became, sports betting just was legalized. So in the new year, we will be able to participate in that on sites like DraftKings. And I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on the fantasy football industry and if you've ever done it. All right, thanks, Coach Fab.
Well, thank you, Jeff from Maryland, and what a timely topic. And this is why it's so timely, not just because we've gone through almost the entirety of the regular season in NFL. It's because casinos in Pennsylvania are closed by order of our governor. And so, consequently, the only thing we have left is sports betting by app. And at this stage, I just followed three teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Nevada Wolfpack, that's the one in Reno, and the University of Notre Dame. And presently, I am 29-6. But I'll take it. You know, those are all moneyline bets, and I increased my bets as I enjoyed so much success. So it turned out to be real money. But did I ever partake in fantasy football? Well, I thought about it, and let me tell you why I didn't. I was having a meeting about fantasy football with a group of guys in a bar. You know, they were explaining how it would work and etc. And during the course of this instruction and whether or not we wanted to participate, it was also a $100 buy-in. I started to realize that these guys knew the NFL so well. They talk about this tight end and that tight end and this running back and that quarterback and stats on this person and that person. You know, I followed the Steelers. I enjoyed pro football. But, man, I didn't know all this information about these players throughout the league. I mean, these people I sat with, they knew who the general managers of teams were. They knew what trades they should be making. I mean, I said, you know, I said, I wish you guys all the best. And I bought a round of the drinks for everybody. But he said, you know what, I'm not doing it. I just can't do it. I just don't know enough about it. And I enjoy hearing about it. And I am enjoying the fact that you called and talked about your success in winning your league. I figure that's probably good for at least 700. But I just was too chicken myself because I just didn't know enough about the individual teams in NFL. And I know I could, you know, get information materials or I could learn that, but I just didn't want to put the time in, you know. So I thought I'd just stick with my sports app betting. Your question about prop bets is intriguing because, you know, I'm a craps guy, and I make prop bets in craps, and those are often called bets you shouldn't make. And I'm sure it's probably true in fantasy football or sports bet apps in general that, you know, what team's going to score first, what team's what running back's going to have the most yardage, what receiver's going to have the most catches, how many touchdowns are going to be scored. You know, those kind of prop bets, I think, you know, they're as common as, you know, French fries and hamburgers. I mean, come on, you know. But I have no complaint about it because prop bets are a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun for me in craps, and I bet they're a lot of fun for anybody that plays fantasy football or the people that are making cash bets through an app, a sports betting app in their state. So, yeah, fantasy football is a good thing to happen, you know, in the Twilight Zone year that we're having, this episode of 12 months in the Twilight Zone. Oh, it's almost over. Almost over. And I know the concerns that we had about COVID-19 are real. The surge in Western Pennsylvania before the surge in the last 6-8 weeks, I didn't know anyone personally. I knew all people that had COVID-19, but I didn't know anyone personally, you know, that I knew, and they knew me. But since the surge, you know, I had a good friend die of COVID-19. I had, I learned that a lot of my former students, their children had COVID-19. I learned of a doctor that had COVID-19. It goes on. Now, these people basically had very mild symptoms, but again, I knew some people that had very serious symptoms as well, and in fact, one led to death. So COVID-19 is real, much more real to me now than it was, say, in May or June. And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say that we canceled a February trip to Las Vegas for a couple of reasons. For one, some of the things that we like to do there wouldn't be available. And Vegas shows almost completely are shut down. Some of the hotel casino resorts are shut down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, just open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that just put a damper on things. And then there's still just too many instances of violence on the strip and downtown on Fremont Street. I'm sure the police are doing everything they can, but it's still not the way it should be. For example, someone was just killed last week in a parking garage, and in another parking garage, a 90-year-old man was beaten and robbed. This is daylight hours, you know, and since the valets aren't working in all the casino hotels that I know about, maybe there's one or two that they are, but I don't know about it, so you're forced to go to the parking garages, and I just think, in general, using parking garages is dangerous when those parking garages are associated with casinos. Because people can follow winners out of the casino to the parking garage and kind of ambush people, you know. So those are all things that made us cancel our reservations. Now we're going to change our flight and we're going to be in Las Vegas in September. And as I said in The Wizard of Oz, that's a horse of a different color. Because we believe that by September, anyone who wants to get vaccinated in the United States will have that opportunity to be vaccinated. So I'm not saying that COVID-19 will be gone, but for me personally and for my wife, Janie, I think we'll be free of the fear of coming down with COVID-19. So I guess I just ask, how about you? Now, I do know that casinos throughout the country are struggling to recover from the shutdowns. And as I mentioned, the casinos in Pennsylvania have been shut down for a couple of weeks. Now, they're supposedly going to open in early January, but you don't know if that's going to be extended or not. You know, the governor may extend that shutdown. Restaurants are now closed to inside dining. Bars are closed. You just can't sit at a bar. You can get cocktails to go, but you can't go into a bar and sit down. So it is a Twilight Zone kind of year, and I think all of us will be celebrating on New Year's Eve. And, of course, the operative word in 2020 for me was mitigation. There's mitigation orders. There's mitigation rules. There's plans and schemes to eradicate the COVID-19 virus by obeying principles of mitigation. And of course, that's a reduction. And these principles usually involve mask and staying in. Two things we do not enjoy, but more or less agree that sometimes they're necessary. Mitigation by social distancing. That's a concept we'll probably embrace forever. You just hear it so often, repeated day after day, almost hour after hour. And still, the damn virus won't go away. But let us move on to two other areas of today's podcast. In the first one, I'm going to compare 2020 to another horrible year. Not so many deaths, but still there were a lot of deaths. And maybe you can guess what year that would be. 1968. And in our third section of the podcast today, we're going to consider some of the big hits from slot machines around the country where casinos are open. Yeah, people are still going, not in the same numbers they were before the pandemic, and people are still winning life-changing amounts of money. So hang on, we'll be right back and move into our second segment today, 1968. I wanted to do this segment because I was, you know, in discussions with people online sometimes, actually using a phone call, not just texting, those kind of conversations with my wife. We were talking about the sadness of 2020, obviously is the losses and then the business losses, but how at the same time, young people got married, babies were brought into the world. There were things to celebrate, but they couldn't celebrate. And one of the sad things about all the passings was you couldn't celebrate their life. You couldn't gather in funeral homes. That was limited, and those kind of things. You just couldn't the opportunity to celebrate, whether it was a wedding, a birth of a child, or the passing of someone's life, you couldn't celebrate it. You couldn't come together as a family or friends, an extended community, because of the pandemic. And we were talking about, was there any other year like this, and where you had good things happen in your life, but there were so many bad things happening around you? And for me, and maybe you'll have a different year, or maybe you won't have one at all, but I'm assuming you will. For me, that was 1968. I was a junior at the University of Notre Dame, and I had an outstanding academic record to the point where in the spring of that year, my academic advisors gave me a deal where I could just take my grade at midterm and then I'd be free on my own to do library research. And at the time, Notre Dame had one of the most, has a very large building for a library, but it also had, I think, the highest number of books among the top universities in the world. That's how university libraries were judged then. I don't think that's true today with the internet. But anyway, so I took the deal. I think I got 4 A's and a B, and so that's how I was going to finish out. But I really wasn't worthy of the trust that the university put in me, because I really didn't do that much research at the library. But just having that deal gave me free time, and I was getting married that September. In my senior year, my wife and I had planned, looking back, we had planned to marry during my senior year. She was already out of school working as a medical technician, and the Vietnam War was looming, so that was our plan. So I wanted to get a part-time job to raise money for that wedding. So in 1968, there was more than a half million United States troops on the ground in South Vietnam. And when the year started in January, the Pentagon assured all of us, the American public in general, that the war had turned a corner in America's favor, and then soon there would be peace in Southeast Asia. Wow, that was so exciting. Well, I think it was just two and a half weeks after that announcement in early January. On January 30th, the Tet Offensive occurred. That was a huge sneak attack. And many of our military outposts and the cities of South Vietnam were overrun. And it caught the American military sleeping. And they were overrun by Viet Cong and also some hardline regulars from the north. And so our troops, you know, to the great credit, they fought hard, and in 5-6 weeks they regained all that lost ground. But what had happened, the American public turned against the war. They just thought it wasn't worth the loss of American life, and more they thought it was unwinnable. And again, our American military regained everything, and so the Tet Offensive wasn't successful for the enemy, you know, the communists, but it was successful in an unexpected way that the American public, for the most part, turned against it. And there were protests on university campuses. Well, in April of that year, Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And certainly that marks 1968. And the war protests had been going on college campuses. And now you throw in that racial element, and rioting began, you know, in all honesty, black rioting began in major American cities. And it certainly began where I was in South Bend, Indiana. I was working in a black-owned gas station, and I thought I had a good relationship. You know, it was on Notre Dame Avenue, but it was adjacent to sort of a dangerous neighborhood. And I had a great relationship, I felt, with the people, the patrons of that station. You know, again, I had just turned 21 in February of 1968. And, you know, I was a tough dude. I thought I could bench press almost 300 pounds. You know how it is at that age when you're young. And the black business owner, Jim, who was a boxer himself, he had a speed bag in a garage. He was so impressive. But, you know, we liked that, and we talked about that a lot because I worked out constantly. Again, I had all that free time. You know, come April, my second semester was basically do what you want. You don't have to go to class. You got 4 A's and a B. So he just called me in and said, it's not safe for you here. It's not safe. And I don't want to discuss some of the reasons he said that, but so the death of Dr. Martin Luther King was a very sad thing, along with the Tet Offensive and the aftermath of that. And so I was quite liberal in my youth. I think that changes somewhat as you grow, but I was quite liberal in my youth. And Robert F. Kennedy, RFK, was running for president, and he had to overthrow the sitting president to do that. And he wanted help, and so I was reading about that he wanted volunteers to help him with his Indiana campaign, and I volunteered, and basically my job was just to go around and knock on doors and tell people why they should vote the Democratic addresses that we had. You know, door-to-door, knocking the doors and tell people why they should vote for, you know, Bobby Kennedy, RFK. And one of the great thrills of that I had in 1968, before the actual primary election, was Bobby Kennedy came to South Bend and shook hands with all the volunteers, and I actually shook his hand. And he won the Indiana primary easily and was off to California for the California primary. And you know the rest of the story. He won the California primary, and it looked like he could win the presidency and be the Democratic candidate, but he was assassinated the same evening. And so you had the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, and then you had the death of Bobby Kennedy. And, you know, that stunned me, and it made me so unhappy, both of those deaths. Those were two men that I greatly admired. And at the same time, I was getting married to the love of my life in September. And we got married, and she came back to Notre Dame with me, and she quickly got a job in South Bend Central as a medical technician. And, you know, she had purchased, because she had worked for a year, a hot Plymouth Barracuda was a muscle car, and I already had a 650cc BSA Hornet, you know, and you know, we were young lovers together. We were in love, and so I met her hospital friends, and she met my Notre Dame buddies, and Notre Dame was all men then, and it wasn't co-ed until the early 70s. So 1968 to me was a lot like 2020. I mean, so many wonderful things happened in 2020 to me and to my friends, and so many horrible things did too. So far, fingers crossed, my own family has been spared death, but I have friends who had others die of, you know, COVID-19 and so on. And I had friends that businesses are failing because of the pandemic shutdowns and business closures and such. But then I know people experience great joy in 2020. Just and so it's kind of this mixed emotions that you have. So I wanted to share that with you and see just exactly how you look at that. And if you also understand the ambiguity that I have, you know, I think maybe the best line from literature, it's the best of times and it was the worst of times, 2020. Yeah, it was one long episode in the Twilight Zone. But I'm going to be the first to tell you there were intervals of sunshine along the way. And I'm not going to be less than honest about that. There were things that I enjoyed this year, and there were things that I embraced and loved in 1968, despite all the horrible things that were happening in the world. So that's why I want to close out in our final segment about, although it was horrible for people who love casinos, recreational gamblers, 2020, there were some people that won some big money, and I want to tell you about the biggest one before we close the podcast today. So we'll be right back after a short break and tell you about one of the mega wins of all time on a Las Vegas slot machine. So hang on. If you don't know about it, you'll be excited to hear. We'll be right back. So many of you slots players probably have played the Mega Bucks machine, and you probably played it max. And usually, a max bet on a dollar machine is $3. So, in 2020, this strangest year in my life, there was a major jackpot win, and I think it was among the top six or seven of all time in Las Vegas on a $3 Mega Bucks machine at the Suncoast Machina. Make that Suncoast Casino, excuse me, a major jackpot? Hang on, a major jackpot. I don't even know if that covers it. Can you imagine the life-changing money in your own life, in my life, in your friend's life, in your kid's life, in your neighbor's life? of $15.5 million. $15,500,000 on a $3 megabucks bet at the Suncoast Casino. Oh, come on. Congratulations. But here's maybe a part of the story you're not going to like. Somebody that I would trust completely with their post on our Facebook group. If you like hearing about hits, one of the things we do is we just follow all casinos that we can, you know, that respond online. And we get hit every couple of days with major hits, you know, from this casino somewhere and this casino somewhere. And so many of the casinos in Nevada as well. But one of the good people in our Facebook group, I won't mention his name, posted that he knows about this hit, and the word is that the winner of $15.5 million didn't give a tip to the slot woman who came over and brought the check. Come on, man, you know? Huh? Oh, jeez. I hope that's not true, but then I picked up a couple other people who say it is true when I commented on our Facebook group. Hey, if you want to join our Facebook group, just go to Facebook, Casinos USA, and answer a few questions. And basically, you're telling us you're not going to put advertisements on there about Bitcoin. Hey, the glory of Bitcoin is over now. It's so valuable. But, you know, I passed on it when it was down to several dollars, just a few dollars, I should say. And I'd be a lot happier today, probably less stressful, if I had, you know, purchased $1,000 worth of Bitcoin all those years ago. But I didn't. All right. Well, that brings us to our conclusion today. And from all of us at Casinos USA, we want to say Happy New Year, and we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun in 2021.